Returning this morning to First Letter of Peter, chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. It's a glorious text. I'm sure we all know it. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. It must be a great comfort to each one of us. I hope it will be this morning. We are constantly aware of the many burdens and the many pressures that face all believers. And we know of many burdens and pressures and cares, even in our own congregation. Now let me just say something as we begin looking at this verse together, by way of honest confession. I continue not to be very well, or rather perhaps recovering very slowly. And everything I am doing at the moment is requiring or exacting greater effort or pulling greater strength from me than it normally would. Some people, not in the church, some friends outside the church urge me not to preach today. I've compromised a little bit. I'm sharing the preaching this morning with Mr. Spurgeon. And by that I mean that he has very kindly provided for us our headings this morning. I'm not going to preach you his sermon, I have my own, but I found help in using the structure and the headings that Mr. Spurgeon did many years ago when he preached on this passage in 1862. I've been finding it very hard to concentrate for long periods of time, so to borrow this structure is to me rather helpful this morning. I'm not apologizing for doing it this morning, but at the same time, I couldn't just stand here and preach to you without saying this at the outset, because I think that would be a little bit dishonest. I'll give the credit where it's due. Well, let's begin looking at this verse by looking at the immediate context. Midway through verse 5, the Apostle Peter begins to address everyone. He's been talking to the elders. He says a word to young people. And then he says, "All of you, be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Excuse me. This is what he says. What we need, says Peter, is humility. We have a great need for humility. Now, what we're thinking about this morning is anxiety, anxious care, the bearing of burdens. But the fact is that the one thing leads into the other. So we just have to say in starting that if we are humble people, if we humble ourselves and trust the Lord, then many cares will be resolved. He gives grace. He exalts the humble. We have to note that because it leads into our text. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And I want to think about three things with you this morning. But I'm inserting the word anxious when we think about care, because that is the kind of care that is in view here. Anxious care. Because there is a sense in which we use the word care that we think, well, care is always good. It's always good to take care. It's always good to care for others. It's always good to have a care and a concern for those who are lost and all of that kind of thing. Yes, that's true. And we should have those natural levels. But what is in view here is anxious care, the perplexity of the mind, the distress that we enter into. So I want to think about three things. Firstly, the disease of anxious care, then the cure for anxious care, and then the promise of better care. So the disease of anxious care, that's our first heading. Anxious care is like a disease that needs a cure. And there are several things we can say about anxious care and why it's like a disease. Firstly, it's connected with sin. And you might say, oh, that doesn't sound good. I'm often anxious. I have many cares and many burdens. Are you saying that I'm sinning all the time? No, I'm not saying that. I don't want to say to you, anxious care is sin, but it's nonetheless true that anxious care has a strong connection with sin, because in truth, anxious care comes from a lack of trust in God, and that is sinful. And Christ urges us to be anxious for nothing. We all care about things, of course we do, but when our care becomes excessive and obsessional and anxious, then we're in danger of doing something which might not occur to us. Why, here is this problem. I can't deal with it. I'm obsessing over it. I'm trying to think it through. There must be a way around this. There must be a solution. I'm anxious. I'm putting myself in God's place. I'm in danger of putting myself in God's place. I can fix it. I've got a solution. I'm going to turn it over and over. I'm going to bust this thing. And all the while, we have a sovereign and eternal God with unlimited resources and unfathomable power. We're in danger of putting ourselves in his place. So anxious care is connected with sin. We think we know best. We may not think it, we may not say it, but there's something in anxious care that says, God doesn't know what he's doing. He's made some kind of a mistake here. There's been an oversight here. It's dangerous ground to be on. So we have to bear that in mind. Anxious care has this strong connection with sin. And secondly, it can lead us on to other sins. What does that mean? Well, things might not be going as we hope. Things could be difficult. I can give you some very obvious, mundane, not necessarily mundane, but obvious examples. My exams are not going as I hoped. My results are not what they should be. And so the temptation comes in some form or other, I don't know what form it would take, to cheat. I need to give myself a bit of a helping hand here. Things are not going right. Well, where's that come from? It's come from an anxious care. It's come from this lack of trust, temptation to cheat. Or things aren't going so well at work, and promotion isn't coming that I hoped for. And so I'm going to find some ways to get ahead, even if it means trampling on somebody or gossiping behind somebody's back or doing somebody else down. I'm going to look out for me. I'm going to find a way, you see, because I'm not getting what I deserve. Well, then a businessman who cuts corners because profits aren't what they might be. Well, my business might go under. Everybody else is doing it. Anxious care leading to these sins. Or even someone who just gossips and lets their tongue run away. Oh, because this has happened and it's not right. That has happened and that's not right. This person's done this and there's been no punishment. There's nothing being said. Well, that all can happen too. Interfering with other people's personal lives. It's all leading from this anxious care. I've got to engineer this. I've got to get on top of this. But you're not God, and you're acting as though you are. We're not praying. We're not seeking God. We're ruled by anxious care. It's connected with sin. It leads to sin. But a third thing is this. This disease, it brings us misery. Doesn't it just? We all know this, don't we? Anxious care, what does it bring you? Misery. If something is sinful, there's a little rhyme in this, if something is sinful, it will bring you sorrow. That's true all the time. Anything sinful brings sorrow. as a guarantee, really. All we think of is ourselves. We all have different lives. There are those who are rich, relatively. Those who are poor, relatively. Those who are relatively well. Those who are quite considerably unwell, sick. Those who are well-educated. Those perhaps not so educated. Those with very sharp minds, and those perhaps with minds that do different things. I don't like just talking about people who have sharp minds and dull minds, because we all have different minds. This is the point. We're all skilled and suited to different things, and we have different stations in life and different roles and positions in so many different ways. But God's in control of all of those things. He has made us who we are. He has gifted us in the way that he has. He has not gifted us as he has gifted our neighbor, or our friend, or our husband, or our wife, or our brother or sister in Christ, in the church. We are all different, and God has ordained these things for us. He's in control. What do you make of that? Well, if you trust his grace and say, whatever my God ordains is right, I'll take what the Lord has for me and I'll trust him, well, you will be happy, even though life may be hard. If you don't trust him, you will always be miserable. You will always be sad. We bring so much sorrow on ourselves by comparison, by looking at others, by thinking, oh, well, if only I was like that brother or sister, if only I could do that, if only my bank account looked like that, if only my home was like that, and it's all connected together. What does it bring? Misery. Anxious care brings misery. What a disease it is. And then fourthly, it weakens our usefulness. Do you want to be useful in the service of God? If you're a Christian who wants to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, carrying around with you anxious care will ruin your service for Jesus Christ. You can't preach properly, I promise you. Some of you know what it is to preach or to speak. You can't preach properly at all if you are crippled by anxious care. You can't witness, and this applies to all of us, you can't witness right if you are burdened by an anxious care. You'll have no desire to witness in the first place, I firmly believe. Now, I'm not preaching Spurgeon's sermon, as I said, but he put in at this point a brilliant illustration. I rather liked it, so I'm going to share it with you. What it is to be someone who is trying to live as a Christian, yet carrying around all your anxious cares. So, you need a removal man, because you're rearranging your house, let us say, and all the furniture has to be moved, and you're not up to that, and you've got some pretty heavy pieces in your house. You've got some heirlooms, let's say, one or two fine pieces, but it needs a bit of professional assistance. You can't move the furniture on your own. So on the appointed day, in comes your man to move your stuff. And maybe you're doing something else and you hear all sorts of grunting and groaning, and you go in perhaps to the room and he hasn't got anywhere at all. You know, the sideboard's moved about 3 inches across the floor, and you say, what's the problem? And as he turns to you, you notice that he's already carrying on his back his own sideboard. It's strapped on. Now, this is a silly picture, isn't it? But this is making the point. He's carrying around his own furniture on his own back. I'm really struggling to move your stuff, sir, because, as you see, I'm carrying my own furniture here. Why are you carrying your own furniture around? Why didn't you leave that at home? Oh, and I must carry this. How on earth can a furniture mover move your furniture when he's still on his own, he's carrying bits of furniture on his own back? He's already burdened. How on earth can we serve the King of Heaven when he bids us cast our cares upon him and lay our burdens at his feet, and we go around carrying them day after day? You think you have room in your hands for the service of God when your hands are full with the cares of this life? You don't. It's a bit of a silly but a very simple picture, isn't it? There's one more thing about this disease of anxious care. It follows, doesn't it, very clearly from the last thing, that it will damage the cause of Christ, the witness of the church. Look at those miserable Christians over there. You really think that you can go through life carrying inordinate care and that it won't show on your face? I promise you it will. The number of times I have a word with myself, and maybe you ought to as well, just think when you're out and about, when you're in the supermarket. Now, I know going to the supermarket can be very trying indeed, and it's not much fun. I know some people enjoy it, but and sometimes you have thoughts in your head. Think about what's on your face. What facial expression do you have? You see people wandering about and they look so miserable all the time. What's going on in their heads? What are they thinking about? It's not easy. You don't want to walk around with a. I knew a man who walked around with a wide, cheesy grin all the time. And to me, I was convinced it was the most immense fake effort I'd ever seen. But still, is your face miserable? Or is there a brightness in your face? Is there a hope in your eyes? Is there anything about you that says, this one has been set free from present sorrow? This one is cheerful. Set free from present sorrow, we cheerfully can say, e'en let the unknown morrow bring with it what it may. We've sung those words this morning. Just think about it. It damages the cause of Christ. When this disease is crippling us, friends, here is the thing. We all have cares. We all may from time to time become very anxious. We all have cares. But we should not be carrying them. We all have cares, but we should not be carrying them. Now, I'll say just a word here about depression and stress and mental illness, because I don't want any of this to belittle those who have constant and genuine battles with illness in the mind. Those who do suffer these things to a greater or lesser extent are hardly ever understood by those who do not experience or suffer these things. If it's not something that you have to contend with in life, it's very hard to understand those who do have to. But all I would say, and I say this from personal experience as somebody who knows something of depression and all of these things, is as much as it lies within your power, you seek to obey the word of God and continually cast your cares upon him. Don't ignore anxious care. Don't deny anxious care. But continually, let us all seek the cure for it. And that's our second heading, the cure for anxious care. Well, here it is, casting all your care upon him. Well, it's not rocket science, I suppose. There is only one cure. It's helpful to think about the various cares we may have, and we will, but what is the cure? We cast our cares upon him. We go to the throne room of heaven. We seek the mercy seat stained with the blood of our Saviour, and we lay our burdens at his feet, our cares. He has promised to bear them. Of course, it follows, doesn't it, that if we are to do this, we must be those who know him personally. We must be able to approach him. We must be those who are born again. This does not apply to those who are outside God's kingdom. He does not bear the burdens of those who are his enemies and not his friends. We must come to him. We must know him. We must trust in Christ. A non-Christian can't cast their cares on a Christ they do not know. But we must know him. And we should. and we seek him and we trust him. And how do we do it? Well, it's by prayer, isn't it? It is by prayer that we approach the throne of God and we lay out our complaint, as indeed Hezekiah lay out before the Lord the threatening letter that was sent to him. We must tell him. You must tell him. You must tell him your problems. You must tell him your complaints. Yes, of course he knows. He is the omnipotent, the omniscient God. He knows. He knows about everything that's in your head. He knows that. But you must tell him. You must lay your burdens down. In the words of King David in Psalm 62, we must pour out our hearts before him. It's a graphic picture. Psalm 62 and verse 8 it is. And really, literally, it is a tipping up of a bucket. You know, everything poured out on the floor. The lot. Empty that out. You pour it out before him. Let's say it again. Anxious care can only be relieved by leaving it with the Lord. Only that way. You cannot fix things. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't try to do what is right, but there are many circumstances we cannot fix. A businessman cannot necessarily make his business profitable if nobody wants to buy his product. We cannot make ourselves well if perhaps the medication that we can go to the doctors, but if medicine doesn't have the answer or we're not rightly diagnosed, we can't fix it. There are things that are beyond us. We can't change anyone's minds about the Christian faith. That's God's work. It doesn't mean we don't try to do what is right and try to do what is within our power. This is how it goes. Are you anxious about some exam or some course of study? Well, leave it with the Lord, but study as hard as you can. Do you have money problems? Well, leave them with the Lord, but manage your finances as well as you can. See, prayer isn't sticking your head in the sand and ignoring the problems and the circumstances that surround you. It's facing up to the reality and seeking to do what you can, but then trusting the Lord for the rest. This is what I can do. Lord, I lay the rest at your feet. I'll not be burdened by this anxious care. We must do what we can, but there are things that are beyond us. I'll give you just five examples. A man who doesn't have a job. Perhaps he's got a family to provide for. And he's got no way to buy food. He spent all day looking for work. He's sent it persistently. He has followed up leads. He's been to the job center. He's attended a couple of interviews even. He's sent off his CV. He's walked around a load of shops and restaurants. He's been looking for work. He's done his best that day. And now the sun is setting and he has to go home. Now he must trust the Lord and cast his cares upon him. After all, the Lord has promised, hasn't he, that he will provide for us. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He will feed you. He feeds the ravens. He will feed you too. He clothes the lilies. He will clothe you too. And then perhaps there's a family feud, some kind of interpersonal problem, some distress, and you've done all you can to calm the situation and to mend the relationship, but still people are angry and unforgiving. Well, now you must trust the Lord and cast the burden upon him. You have done before God in all good conscience what you can. And then business concern. Oh, the business isn't going well. Have you done all you can? Well, then trust the Lord. What about the salvation of those we love and care for, particularly the salvation of our children or grandchildren. Well, it's right, of course it is. We should all have a great concern about this. We should have a care and a concern for all those who are lost around us, but especially our families. It's right. You should set them an example. It's right at the appropriate time, in the appropriate way, you should seek to speak a word in season. When they're grown up, it's not so easy. When they're children, you can share God's word with them. They're in the home. You can have family worship together, devotions together. You can speak to them every day in little ways about what you are thinking, about how God is blessing you. You can encourage them. But then perhaps they're not saved and they grow up and they've gone from the home. What can I do? People become so anxious and so distressed over these things. Well, you set the example. You take the opportunities God gives you, but you trust Him. You cast the burden upon Him in prayer. You bring it to Him. And then, of course, we all have spiritual cares. Each one of us has different spiritual cares. Some people struggle with burdens because of past sin. And it seems that Satan delights with some people in stirring up in their memories of things that they have thought and said and done in the past, which bring great horror into the heart and sorrow and shame. And what do you do? What do you do? Some people struggle day to day to rejoice in the Lord, struggle for joy, always cast down. Some people doubt that they could possibly even be saved. Again, all these things in their own way, it's right to be concerned about them. But again, we must cast our cares upon Him and trust Him. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He says, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. And of course, we have these words at the end of Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friends, you can take your spiritual cares and you can cast them upon the Lord, however great they may be, for He has spoken, He has given us His word. Friends, we must do this. There are so many other cares, so many others, in a corporate way, in our church. What a care is this? And I will say to you, this is an anxious care which burdens me, and I'm sure many others. Sometimes we look about and we just wonder, how will the work continue? What is the future? How will anybody hear the gospel? Are people coming here week after week and yet their lives are unchanged? They're still unsaved. Well, it's a genuine care. It's a genuine concern. But again, it becomes an anxious care. It suddenly becomes all about me. Oh, if only I can preach better, then more people will come. Oh, we might think, if only the music was better, then more people would come. If only we had some modern songs, then more people would come. If only we had different meeting times. If only we had, I don't know, you think of all these different things you can think of, and it all suddenly becomes all about us. These are things that we can do. We can change this. We can alter this. We can make a better future for ourselves. It's anxious care. It begins with a genuine concern. It goes somewhere it shouldn't go. The work The battle is the Lord's. We're in the battle for souls. We've seen that so recently. We must cast this care upon him too. And I'll tell you, I've been greatly helped in that by our extra prayer meetings, even though we haven't spaced them out properly this month. We'll get that right in future months. It's been so good to have extra time to pray about these things with God's people. So we've seen the disease of anxious care. We see the cure for anxious care. It is that we carry everything to God in prayer. And when it is there, that is where we leave it. But there is a third thing, briefly, the promise of better care. These marvelous words, casting all your care upon him. And what a promise. He cares for you. He cares for you. The eternal God, the infinite God, the creator of all things, the mighty. He cares for you. Yes. What a promise. How sweet these words are. He cares in so many ways. And I'll mention two general categories. He shows his care generally. Well, we have so many blessings, don't we? So many blessings. And as we share with many across the world, we have life, we have measures of health, we have food to eat, clothes to wear, we have water to drink, we have friends, we have family, we have so many blessings. And this is how God shows his care in a general way. He calls the stars by name. He has made this glorious world. There isn't a single sparrow that falls and he doesn't know about it. Why? He cares in a general way, but he also cares personally. He shows his care generally and he shows it personally. How he cares for his own blood-bought people. How, what evidence and ample proof there is for this. Are you his? Then how tenderly he cares for you. His word assures us that our deaths are precious in his sight. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. How tenderly he cares. His word assures us that the angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear him. He speaks so often to us in his word, and he says, you, he cares for you. Yes, you. We're very good at thinking, well, it's not me. It is. He cares for you. Are you his? How can it be possible to go on in life without that knowledge that he does care for you, that he is your God, that you can bring all your burdens to him? What recourse do you have but the throne room of heaven? Where else can you go? Who can you turn to? There is no one. There is nothing. There is only mindlessness and emptiness, and you will have to amuse yourself senseless in order to deal with those anxious cares and burdens that press you, and that great question, of course, that presses everybody and which everybody is in such denial about. What happens when I die? What happens at the end of life? What's it all about? Is it all worthless? Why? I am convinced that so much mental illness and so much distress in our society is caused by the fact, it must be, that man is cut off from God and has no regard for him and no care and doesn't know that there is meaning and purpose. There is all this constant activity in the hearts and minds of men. We know it from Romans 1. Suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. If that's not going to give you a problem, in your mind, if that's not going to give you a headache, I don't know what will. We must be His. And when we can know Christ, and when we can have all secure, and when we can trust Him for everything, yes, life, death, eternity, everything, yes, family, yes, health, yes, strength, everything. Oh, friends, what it is to take that moment to pause before the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, I repent. I've been too anxious. I've been too anxious about this and that and the other thing. Now I'm bringing it to You. I've done all that I can. I've done all that I reasonably, morally should do. Lord, You know my heart. You know my life. I'm not cheating You, Lord, but I can't deal with this. What a blessing to cast Your cares upon Him. And all that peace which comes from doing this, the promise of better care. You feel the peace of God, and you know, as God's word says, it passes all understanding. It defies all description. Oh, life is hard. Yes, it is very hard. But in the midst of it all, you may cast your burdens upon Him. You may cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. And ultimately, somebody says, well, I've heard it said many times, God cares for me. He's got a funny way of showing it. It's because people are always looking at their own lives and comparing themselves to other people and thinking that they're better, other people are better off than they are in different ways. Well, it's not about you. How do you know that He cares for you? Behold a man upon a cross, my sin upon His shoulders. You go to Calvary's cross and you see the eternal Son of God suffer and die for sins not His own. And you see your eternity secured and your sin forgiven, your conscience cleansed, every vile sin you've ever committed laid upon the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And you know He cares for you. Cast all your cares upon Him. Friends, may we be blessed, may we be helped, may we be encouraged, but may we do it. Cast your cares upon Him. Cast your cares upon Him. He cares for you. Amen.